You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. You're listening to On the Couch, with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you are On the Couch. Welcome, everybody. This is the place where you can get help, hopefully suggestions, ideas, information for me and my special guests. And today's the day that we're going to help you with lots of things. We, my special guest and I, are talking about happiness, healthier relationships, a peaceful life, just feeling better in general. And you know, a lot of my clients say that. They say, Dr. Michelle, how can I feel better? How can I make my life better? You know, what's going on? I'm continually having these relationships with these people that aren't good in my life. And, you know, help! Well, I tell them I don't have a magic wand. I can't just wave in front of them. And, you know, I can't just say, hey, you are feeling better now. Maybe that would help. You know, mind over matter and all. But, you know, I do use some psychodynamic and mindfulness and insight therapy to try to help patients discover how to get out of their negative feelings and predicaments and all that. But my special guest today is a lady whose skills are right there. And she runs the gamut from psychology and relationship and specialized kinesiology. And that's about the body work, folks, in case you don't know what that means. She has a rare blend of knowledge, and it crosses from healthcare into mental health care, and it gives my special guest, Allie Bierman, a unique perspective on health and happiness. And we're going to be talking about mind and body work, little quantum physics spin, because it's got to be in there, because it's our reality of what physicists are discovering about how we think and how we live. And she's going to help you with how to be a little happier in your life and, you know, how to change your thinking and use information rather than just go from your, as I call it, ego needs and that kind of thing. Jump into it. So, Allie, welcome to the show. It's so nice to have you here.
Thanks, Dr. Michelle. I just love your show.
Oh, well, I love you. And Allie and I have been what I call friends via email. You know, she's not here on the West Coast. She's in the Midwest, but she's here, you know, always to send me her great information, to send me information about her classes and her books and her writings, and, you know, her web hosting sites are amazing as well. So we've known each other for about a year. She's been through a lot in her life, and you can read about that. We're going to talk about that a little bit, but I think a lot of people want to know, how can I get happier? And you say in a lot of your writings, Allie, that people need to sort of plant and nourish their happiness seeds. What do you mean by that?
Well, actually, we're born happy. It's our natural way of being. Mm-hmm. Look at a little baby. I'm talking about a full-term, normal, healthy baby. And that's all they know is they're happy to get their needs met. It's our environment
right
that puts these other programs inside us and teaches us being happy isn't realistic. Mm. There's this huge thought form of unhappiness and lack that's out in the universe. Mm. And, you know, actually most people don't think. And when people don't think and don't consider, well, how am I going to feel if I plug into a thought form? They just go into whatever is the biggest thing out there. Mm. It's like the default way of being has become one of unhappiness.
Yes. Wow, that's so true. What do you think is the what do you think is the most important ingredient in nourishing, as you call it, our happy seeds?
Well, it's precisely that. It's what we're feeding them. What ideas, what are we surrounding ourselves with? What are we allowing ourselves to buy into as far as paradigms go? Mm-hmm. It's the seeds are planted in a soil. That's going to be your family environment. Yeah. Your family's going to do the watering and the fertilizing. Mm-hmm. But you have a choice. Now, you don't have a choice until you're maybe somewhere around 6 years old of what you're going to let in to your subconscious mind, of what computer, where you are a computer, what programs you're going to allow to develop. Mm-hmm. And once you reach around six, you suddenly have the ability to monitor and say, well, I'm not letting that in. Mm-hmm. And when you know it, and most people don't just generally know it, but you can plant your own programs, plant your own seeds, and nourish them yourself, making your choices that actually serve you, that let you feel good.
Yeah. Boy, does that make a lot of sense. By the way, if you just tuned in here, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle and my special guest, Allie Bierman. She is a relationship expert, expert in kinesiology. She's written books and, of course, information and pamphlets and lots of workbooks that you can get a hold of, and we're going to tell you about that at the end of the show. She's an inspiration because she's had her own triumphs in life and gotten through them. You know, it's interesting to me, Allie, because when something happens to you, you say, gee, Michelle, how could I have changed my thinking? How could I have changed myself because I brought this to myself? I mean, you're so humble, and you always take responsibility for things that come to you in your life. And that's just amazing to me, because there's like no ego going on there, girl. You know?
Well, I believe that's how the universe works. I believe absolutely everything that happens for a beautiful and divine reason.
Yeah.
And boy, if I didn't believe that, I probably wouldn't still be here. I sure wouldn't be on the phone with you right now.
Well, that's true, sweetheart. It really is amazing. By the way, if you want to call in and ask Allie a question, you can do so. The number here is 323-203-0815. 323-203-0815, or if you'd like to call me and ask me a question as well, do so. You can also email me directly if you don't want to get your voice on the air at docmichelle with two L's at AOL.com, docmichelle@AOL.com, and that's the way we work it here. So we need to nourish our happy seeds. And you know, you were talking about when we're 6 years old, we sometimes can choose what we wish to allow into our minds, you know, at that point. But, you know, here's the thing. You and I have talked about this before, Allie, is when we're little bitties, and then when we're adolescents, and then even when we're young adults, and we're in not such a nurturing home environment, we buy into a lot of the messages that are given to us from our caregivers, whoever they may be. And many of those messages are, you aren't worthy. Life is a struggle. You aren't good enough. You aren't any enough for anybody. And we embrace them. And then here we are. And I see many patients who come into my office in their middle ages and beyond. And they're saying, I'm just not worthy. I'm not deserving of good relationships. It's so hard sometimes to get those messages out of our minds, you know. And how can we really work on, first of all, revealing some of those thoughts? What would you suggest we do? And I'd like to get more into your theories about, you know, operating out of our awareness as well.
Well, one thing is to just take a look at your environment.
Yeah.
What's happening in your environment? Who's in your environment? What are the circumstances? And recognizing you attracted those circumstances. You attracted those people for a reason. One of the big things I do is help people get in touch with their higher self, which is actually their spirit. Then they can get direct answers, like immediate and accurate, about what steps they should take. The fact is, the universe, your spirit, are talking to you all day long, giving information that will move your life forward. It doesn't necessarily mean it's all going to be happy and beautiful,
right. Yeah.
Because if you really take a look at most people's lives, the time they do the growing is when they're in a painful experience. Mm. You don't have a reason. You don't have a motivation to change and grow when
yes.
everything's going beautifully.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you point out that scientists estimate that, generally speaking, we have about 65,000 thoughts a day. I mean, that, these are, of course, general numbers, and you can read this, folks. And you say about 80% of those thoughts are negative. Ay, ay, ay. And most of these thoughts, like 90-something percent of these thoughts, we've thought before, the day before, and the day before that, and the day before that. How can we break these continual negative thoughts that are going on in our head?
Well, the first thing you have to do is become aware of them.
Mm.
For many people, even before they get out of bed, they already have an energy drain going on.
Mm.
I do an image of the body, mind, spirit as a whole bunch of rechargeable batteries. And mm. let's just say you have 100 of them.
Yes.
That you need that energy to get through the day. But the thing is, often people open their eyes and they're already not happy because they're either remembering something consciously, or it's more likely out of their awareness of something that happened maybe yesterday in the relationship, or somebody, they overheard somebody say something negative about them.
Mm.
And every one of those incidents is pulling out one of those cells that you need to get through the day.
Mm.
So you're dropping your level of frequency, and as that drops, the only thing you can attract into your day are mm. things that exist at a lower level of frequency.
Wow.
So
yeah.
what you want to do is, you don't get rid of the so-called negative stuff,
right.
but you can definitely, definitely change how you look at it, see the purpose, see that the person who was an abuser
mm.
in somebody's life actually, on a soul level, loved the person so much, they agreed to come down in that situation, giving the person who appears to be the victim the opportunity to remain the same and accept the abuse and say, well, this is not something that I deserve, and to leave the situation.
Mm. So I know, Ali, that you've been helping people reverse situations with your psychotherapy and your writings, who have had really horrible upbringings and horrible things that have happened in their lives. And it's sometimes very difficult for many people to, you know, change that up. But with your guidance, sometimes you slowly help them come out of the clouds and try to make some kind of silver lining, I guess you might say, in all that's going on in their lives. And, you know, that's what's really great about you, is you keep providing those, you know, people with information, with all of us, to help us operate out of more awareness and recognize how we're feeling. You know, isn't it funny, Ali, how we can get numb every day, right?
Mm-hmm.
We just get numb to our feelings. It's like, well, this is normal. Do you hear a lot of people say, as usual, my life is, or it's just my luck that, you know, I mean, sometimes we just go into that thought process, right?
And people actually forget what it feels like to feel good.
Mm.
They forget
yeah.
that happiness is our birthright and the way that we were when we were born. And when you, for it's like a couple of years ago, I helped somebody clear candida.
Right.
And candida can become actually life-threatening.
Yes.
She has form. And I specialize in that. So it took 4 sessions. It was clear, and she called me, and she was in such joy.
Oh.
She couldn't remember feeling that good, having that much energy, and feeling that happy.
Mm.
You just get into this habit of feeling less than wonderful, and you accept it.
Wow, that's great. Yeah, you know, you've been also helping people with their relationships for years. You and I have talked about this a lot. What is the best advice that you can give to listeners who continually have problems in their relationships?
Okay, this is not something that people want to hear, but when somebody said it to me 10 years ago, well, truthfully, it took me a couple of years to understand it, but I can help somebody understand it faster. The fact is, step back and consider it's all about you. It's not about your partner. It's not your partner's fault. But it isn't your fault either. However, it is your responsibility. Now, I'm not saying you did anything wrong. You see, the way that you treat yourself shows others how to treat you.
Yes.
If you fail to take good care of yourself, if you fail to honor and respect yourself, if you don't show love for yourself, other people will treat you that way. I mean, how often have you heard, especially a woman, say, I feel like a doormat and everybody walks all over me?
Right. Right.
They're doing that because she lets them do that. She doesn't step up and say, this is not acceptable to me. This is how I need to be treated.
Right.
So when you take charge, when you know what you will accept in relationships and what you absolutely are not willing to accept, because you can never, ever expect somebody else to change. You know, how many people say, if he loves me, he'll change?
Yes.
No. You need to be aware of what's okay with you and what isn't. I mean, I was married 31 years. I've been divorced for 10 years.
Wow.
One of the things when I go out with somebody and I don't say anything to them, I, in my female fashion, but I want divorce help for me.
Yes.
So if he doesn't automatically do that, it's like, okay, we're not having another date. I don't tell him that, but I know it's acceptable to me and what isn't.
That's a good idea. You know, I always encourage clients to, you know, just figure out what they want in terms of characteristics in a partner, if they're dating or if they've been in a relationship, and you know, how they feel and what they're willing to go along with, because people will treat us the way we allow them to, I think, like you said, and if it's not comfortable or if someone's getting too close too quickly, we have to draw boundaries. So we have to sort of be in touch with how we're feeling about how people are, you know, dealing with us, even if we've been in a relationship for a long time. And I'm not a big advocate of divorce. I'm really not. I try to keep people together and work things out. But sometimes for years, like you said, you were in a marriage for 31 years. Sometimes we have to say, this doesn't feel okay anymore. I am very sad, and I'm tired of being not necessarily even physically abused or verbally abused, but I'm tired of not connecting with someone here, and I'm tired of being sad.
And just to share with your listeners, we came to a mutual decision for the divorce. We hadn't stopped loving each other.
But
our paths had diverged so hugely.
Yes.
I moved out to the Idaho mountains and he moved closer into Washington, D.C. So that was a great major point, that I wanted to live in the country and he wanted a more metropolitan life.
Mm.
It didn't make sense. We were both unhappy trying to make each other happy.
Yeah. Well, that's tough, you know. That's tough. Many of my clients say to me, you know, they keep picking the wrong kind of people in relationships. They keep picking those people who are not good for them. What can you say to help people who are believing this, and how can you change their habits?
That's a really sobering question that I address often. See, people don't choose each other for the conscious reasons that they think. It isn't because the person is attracted to them. It's not because you share common interests. It's not because you're the opposite, where a shy woman might be attracted to a very outgoing man. That's not the reality. The reality of how you choose someone has to do with our energies. People have probably heard the term aura. We have an energy around us.
Yes.
And it's full of all kinds of details and emotions. And years ago, I went to hear Harville Hendrix speak.
Yeah.
Now, he wrote a book called Getting the Love You Want, and he has a sequel to that, too. And he coined the phrase imago therapy. And what he proposes that I really, really believe, because I see it. I see it very commonly.
Yes.
Is that people are attracted to someone who is like their early caregivers.
Ah.
And the reason that happens is they're hoping, okay, this time I'm going to get the relationship right and I'm going to heal.
Ah.
But a lot of their awareness, they don't know what's going on. So a woman who grew up, say, with an abusive father, has in her energy that she's looking for an abusive partner.
Right.
That's what happens.
Mm. That's so interesting. And, you know, I hear and see many people say, I married my mother, or I married my father.
Say that.
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes it's a good thing. I mean, in my case, honestly, my husband has many qualities of my father, and he was wonderful. So I got that right, thank God. Right? But I mean, sometimes it's very true, and you're right, that we do sort of need to, we repeat that, you know, relationship when we're finding partners many times, even if the relationship was negative and abusive and condemning and all that, and because we need to work it out on some level, but sometimes we just can't, and we have to realize that we have to be good within ourselves and allow these people sort of who are not okay with us consistently in our lives sort of be who they are and move on, you know?
Yeah, that's a thing, moving on. And you can actually heal your childhood relationships working through other people. The first time I became aware of that, I had a friend who was sharing the horrible way her boss treated her, and then she said, "He's so much like my father." And then she said something that totally shocked me, which really encompasses the whole thing about being happy.
Right.
She said, "I sent him love." And she just sent him love without telling him. She was just energetically sending him love, feeling love towards him. The relationship healed, and the relationship with her father healed too. Because it was all about her energy and what was going on inside her. And it's never, ever about the other person. And it's never, ever anything outside you. No one makes you happy. Nobody makes you unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
You do that yourself.
Wow, is that true? By the way, in case you just tuned in here, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle here and my special guest, Allie Bierman. She is practicing psychotherapy. She helps people with health care mentally and physically in specialized kinesiology. Allie and I have been, you know, what I'd say friends for over a year, and she's been through a lot of, I would say, trials. Would you say that in your life? Can you talk a little bit, if you don't mind, about how you have learned to overcome some of your major physical obstacles? I mean, you're an amazingly strong woman. And you know what's cool about you, Allie, is you practice what you preach.
definitely important to me. What you see is what you get with me.
Yeah.
And what I discovered is the universe wants to help you learn certain lessons. That's why you come into a body. Why else do people exist except for their souls to evolve? So you come in wanting to learn certain lessons. The universe starts out by whispering to you. So it'll present the obstacle in a small form. And if you get it, then that's super. But if you don't get it, then it keeps giving it to you your whole life long until, for me, last year, I had a brain tumor. And it's a pretty big one. And now I have the wisdom and the insight to look back and see, oh, this was coming my whole life long.
Wow.
But it actually showed up last year, and the aftermath of the brain tumor just really, really changed my life into something that I didn't think I wanted to have all the issues that are going on.
Yes.
But I looked at it, and I saw, okay, I've been a health fanatic for 39 years.
Right.
I mean, I do everything right. I eat all the right food. I make it from scratch. It's all organic. I know all the exercises. And I got a brain tumor.
Mm.
And I, quite frankly, until 2 days ago, I was afraid to share this information with anybody because I thought, how the heck am I walking my talk if I'm telling everybody how to be happy and healthy and I do this major thing to myself?
Yes.
For with the cooperation of the universe. And I realized, oh my gosh, it isn't about what you eat, how you exercise, as much as it is of how you run your head.
Yes, yes.
And when I saw the vet, I realized, whoa, like Deepak Chopra said, it isn't as important what you eat as how you feel when you're eating it.
Mm.
I thought, this is the lesson I'm supposed to teach. And earlier this year, the universe gave me a book title. People have been asking me ever since the brain surgery to write a book.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't understand how to write it. And I got this title, How a Brain Tumor Catapulted Me to Happiness.
Mm.
Because having all these insights, understanding everything, making sense of everything. And many years ago, the universe has been at this lesson with me for a long time.
Yes.
As a psychotherapist, I was attacked by a client and disabled with a brain injury. So that's the first time something happened with
Allie?
My brain.
Oh, my gosh.
And so the brain is all about the control center of your body, and maybe more importantly, it's about, are you living your true path in life?
Mm. Yeah.
And I wasn't at the time because I love to teach and my music and my art, and I love to cause people to smile. So I wasn't exactly doing that. So then the universe said, okay, we're going to do something with your brain again. And a tumor is a sign of not forgiving.
Mm.
Every time you don't forgive someone, there's a little energy block that happens.
Mm.
So this happens over and over with each person. And I thought, this is nutsy. I show people how to forgive. I helped them. And I thought I'd done all that work myself.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got the message, I haven't forgiven myself.
Mm.
So that's why I had a brain tumor. So now everything's making sense. And hopefully I've got my soul working learned now. I don't really want to go through anything else like that.
Oh, I hear you. You're such a brave woman, and like I said, you were really unable to speak a year ago. I mean, we had to write. You couldn't even really write emails to me very well because you really were suffering a great deal from this. But you've overcome it. Your internet communications are beautiful. You speak so well, and I'm just so proud of you, Allie. You've done such wonderful work, and so have your doctors, by the way, as well. But I'm so happy for you because you are such an inspirational lady. If you just tuned in here to LA Talk Radio, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle and my special guest today, Allie Bierman. She's a psychotherapist. She works in specialized kinesiology, and she teaches a lot of people about mind and body work with a little quantum physics spin as well. Now, you and I have talked also, Allie, about affirmations. You know, a lot of patients come into my office and they say, can you give me some affirmations to help me feel better? Come on, bring it, you know. And you suggest that a lot of the affirmations that we are given, you know, how to do them and what to say and when to say them and all, is grossly inaccurate. So how would you suggest people utilize affirmations and what's needed for us to get those to work for us?
Yeah, I have a real soapbox about affirmations and goals also. I mean, so much so that I have a double CD set on it. So to go directly to what I see as one of the really big issues, and by the way, affirmations work all the time.
Mm.
It's just being not aware of what you're asking for.
Mm-hmm.
So the main thing I see in the way people say to make their affirmations is affirmations work because they go into the subconscious mind.
Mm.
However, the language that people use is speaking to the conscious mind. So right away, there's a disconnect.
Mm.
But let me give you an example. If a person's affirming, I am a famous writer, well, that reflects the language of the conscious mind. However, if you're saying, I am writing award-winning books, attracting lots of attention and praise, that difference of tense is going into your subconscious mind.
Hmm.
And I'm not a grammarian, so I don't know what tense you call it, but it's the I am something, whatever it is, ing.
Yes.
And that, it's a tense you would never, ever use as a writer,
yes,
but it works when you're doing affirmations.
You know,
yeah.
Go ahead, Allie.
Well, the other thing is when you're doing the affirmation using the right word, speak it three times, three different ways, and connect it to an involuntary body function. Like, for instance, something I'm doing right now. With every breath I breathe, I'm gaining more and more health. With every beat of my heart, I'm getting stronger and stronger. With every blink of my eyes, my body is restoring great health. So all I have to do is breathe, continue to have my heart beating, and blink my eyes to affirm all day long that I want to gain health. Whereas most people speak their affirmations as they're taught, first thing in the morning, last thing at night. But then they go on the whole rest of the day with those 52,000 negative thoughts and the more than 61,000 same old low energy thoughts that they're doing every day. Well, that's usually outweighing the twice a day affirmations that are being spoken. So the universe is going to pick up on and manifest for you what the majority of your thoughts and feelings are. That's why I say affirmations work. People just don't realize what they're saying to the universe all day long.
Right. No, I agree with you. You know, it makes a lot of sense. I mean, there's a lot of study done on the, you know, implanting in subconscious messages, you know, from your conscious, and then they come back up, and, you know, we can realize in our conscious mind what we need. And it's true. I mean, that's a cool way of doing it, Allie, because you say, you know, with every heartbeat and with every breath, and you it's almost like your automated systems are working for you naturally all day long. And with each automated breath and heartbeat and eye blink, it's almost like setting in motion the fact that you're going to automatically just be getting healthier and feeling better. And it's sort of a cool way of, you know, believing that, setting that into your subconscious mind, you know.
Yeah.
That's cool. I really like that. Let's talk about your suggestion that no matter how many techniques we use, I mean, there's so many techniques out there to create, you know, instant happiness, or I want to be happy right now, or I want to. Everybody wants to, right? We all do. But
yeah.
You say it's not going to happen until we make that internal shift to love. Now, come on. How many people do you and I know, Allie, who can't even like themselves? You know, I mean, I don't even like myself. How can we make that internal shift to sort of loving ourselves so we can start from right there to create our own happiness?
I'm really glad you asked that. And before I go completely into that, I want to mention, because this was a huge awakening for me, and actually I got there with the help of Pamela Beatty, who is often on your show.
Yes.
I was thinking, why would I create difficult, painful circumstances for myself if I loved myself? So I was thinking, I'm not loving myself, which you just said. And what she helped me see, and I had come to that in my own meditation, but she reinforced it, is you cannot heal from all these things unless you do love yourself. Because healing happens when you're in a painful situation, you have to be in a place of such deep love for yourself that your spirit and the universe will allow all these obstacles to appear. It's like when I work on somebody and I do it all energetically. Sometimes the spirit will reveal a complete detailed history that's causing whatever the symptom, condition, injury is. And sometimes it won't. It'll let me know things are happening, so we still treat them. But it depends on where the person is in their life of what they're ready to be able to handle.
Ah.
So whether it's revealed or not depends on what they're able to handle. So that's what's going on. When you love yourself, you're okay with having all these things happen for you. So you grow through them, and your love is even greater. And the only love, and this is how I get myself through, because you might imagine I have a lot of pretty painful moments, but I don't let myself stay there for more than maybe 2-3 minutes, is gratitude. Love is the highest frequency there is, and gratitude is love. And in fact, it's so significant that I've been reading Napoleon Hill's book, The Law of Success,
yes,
which grew out of Think and Grow Rich. And his 15th law, there are 15 of them, is actually the golden rule. And he explains how living in it all across your life is what lets your life work. And then he goes on to say a really crucial part of living successfully is prayer. And as you may have heard before, the only prayer, gratitude. So when I'm going through these really, really awful moments, I will express that gratitude to the universe for what's happening, whether or not I understand it. And when I had the brain injury years ago, and I was in the rehab center, and I told my therapist, I said, you know what, I see the gift in this injury, even though it totally put my life upside down. He said the only people he ever saw heal were people who saw the gift.
Wow.
So this message is coming from all these different places. I mean, even Napoleon Hill, I would not have thought I'd get that same message there, which tells you something about how universal and how powerful it is.
Wow. That's beautiful, Allie. Allie, we just got an email from a Samantha. She wrote, Samantha. And she is asking you a question, so shall we go ahead and tackle this?
Sure.
All right. She said, Allie, I'm 23 and trying to feel better about myself. My sister and I have had a bad upbringing with my abusive parents. Mom was an alcoholic and dad was bipolar. Ooh, how can I get through this early upbringing and function in the world? I still haven't found myself. Wow.
And for me, from my experience working with people, I think it's hard to do that all by yourself,
right,
because you're kind of stuck in the quicksand, so
sure,
to speak. And that's something I can help somebody do. One point I really want to get across is healing doesn't mean you're back to the way you were before. It means you're accepting your life the way it is now. And what I help people do is release the emotional part of the experiences. People don't forget the memory when they work with them, but the memories are no longer painful for them. So that's one of the reasons I've been working the last 3 years, trying to figure out how can I work with people long distance, because not everybody's going to come to Idaho.
Right.
And what's really interesting is I finally figured it out last week, and the big message I got was, I did that for me, not just for everybody else.
Right.
I never work on the method that I use. I couldn't do it on myself.
Mm-hmm.
But this method, I can do it for anybody.
Right.
So it's a matter of getting rid of the emotional blocks. They're energy blocks.
Mm-hmm.
And energetically, we remove those blocks.
Mm-hmm.
You can also install new programs in your subconscious mind and create the habit of happiness, is what I call it, by looking for things every single day that leaves you feeling happy or peaceful. Because you have that big file folder inside. You have this huge directory inside called self-image,
yes,
which was all those experiences and everything you heard when you were very, very young, Samantha. And you can create a new file, feed it with all the happy, with all the love, with all the gratitude, and this new file is going to get so big, and the other file of remembering and holding on to the past, that's not going to get fed anymore. It's going to shrivel,
mm-hmm,
so that it won't be impacting you anymore. Instead, your happiness holder will be what's being fed and what you're living out of. And it's important to remember that your self-image is like a map. And the map is not the territory, it's just a map. And your self-image is just a picture. It's an inaccurate picture, too. It isn't who you are.
Yeah. That's really great advice. Thank you so much, Allie. And thanks, Samantha, for emailing us. I hope that helped you out. And also, we're going to give information in just a little bit on how you can get more of Allie's readings. And she's working on a book right now we're going to talk about, which is I think, going to be wonderful. But if you'd like to email Allie or myself a question, just like Samantha did, you can do so at docmichelle@AOL.com right now, and we'll try to answer your question for you. Or you can call live 323-203-0815, and that'll help. And like you were saying, Allie, it's true about the more we think these thoughts, it's almost like we're feeding them. And, you know, biology shows that we grow neural patterns that reinforce these negative thoughts. And over time, they're so dense and densely, you know, set in our minds that it's very hard to physiologically uncreate these neural patterns and these normal thoughts. I mean, it does sometimes break down into, you know, physics as well. So you've got to change that thought in order to break those neural patterns. And if we start thinking, you know, more healthy thoughts, we will create new neural patterns. And that's the way it goes, right?
Yeah. In fact, one of my life missions is to expand what I call the Happy Share movement.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said before, a happy share is something that leaves you feeling good, happy, peaceful, calm. It's something that happens for you, not your spouse or your partner or your kids or your parents or your best friend. It's something that leaves you feeling happy. And here's the extra bonus. When you remember and you share it, because your subconscious mind can't tell the difference between what you're experiencing now live and what you're remembering or imagining, you get to have all those great feel-good chemicals running through your body again. So it's actually the happyshare movement.com. I encourage people to go and share their happy share and do it every day, because you're creating the habit of happiness. And guess what happens when you're sharing every day? The universe, first of all, looks down and says, wow, look at that. Allie's looking for things to be happy about. I'm going to give her more things to be happy about.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is, things that can leave you feeling good happen every day right now.
That's right.
But you're not tuned into it. So this creates a habit of looking for all those good things. It's like, I'm grateful when I get a green light because I can get some of it someplace faster. I'm grateful when I get a red light because maybe I want to make a phone call.
Right. I need to slow down. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, every little thing that happens, if you stop and think about it, it's huge.
Yes. And as you suggested earlier, too, and I completely agree with you on this, Allie, we're only able to see what we're willing to see. We're only able to feel and understand what we're able or willing to do that. You know, we need to open ourselves up to see that maybe there is a positive, not always angry if there's a what we might consider roadblock in our lives, or a red light, or, you know, someone cutting us off, you know. I mean, whatever the silly messages may be, or someone turning us down for a job, or some, you know, someone yelling at us, or it's out there, and it's how we feel about it internally and how we choose to, you know, just feel it and realize it and take it as a more like a lesson, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. When you can, I say it, having both expectations, it's what you expect in life and it's what you accept in life. And one of the things I do is I teach this song, and one of my songs is about that. And just a quick example of, I call it, we put people into boxes. I was going on a weekend trip with somebody, and he was a very negative person. I was telling my friend, he's so negative, I don't know what I'll do. And she said, it's your listening of him, see him differently.
Wow.
And I did, and I saw him as being happy and pleasant and having a good weekend, and that's that.
Right. That's exactly right. That's beautiful, you know. A lot of people, Allie, are talking about the Mayan calendar and the big change in consciousness that's going to be happening on the 21st of December. Okay, how do you interpret this, and how do you suggest that we protect our psyche from negative or negativity in the what we call collective consciousness in our world, the part of the worlds, our worlds that include like desperation, fighting, holy wars, political party wars, other strong negative beliefs. How do we as individuals sort of work through this part of our negative collective consciousness?
Well, you have a choice about what paradigm you're buying into. I started working with Bob Proctor 15 or 16 years ago, and one of the first things I learned from him was turn off the TV and stop reading the newspaper.
Yeah.
You will always find out anything that's important for you to know.
Mm.
And that's been true. So right away, that's cutting down huge negativity.
Mm.
The last thing I do before I go to sleep at night is write in my gratitude journal. And by the way, I'm doing that all day long. But that sets me up for having a good, pleasant thought while I'm sleeping, instead of how many people watch the news and go to sleep. What's that doing while they're sleeping?
Mm.
And the whole thing with the Mayan calendar, I'm a follower of Greg Braden,
mm-hmm.
and he shows through history how, I think it's like a 25,000-year or something cycle, that Earth is just going through duplicating the exact same thing. And Ian Lundberg teaches about the Mayan calendar and shows similarly what's happening with time, how it's speeding up. And if you take the teachings of both of them and combine them, I lost my train of thought.
That's all right.
Oh,
yes.
You see that this isn't something, obviously, I don't know for a fact, but I don't think it's something that's going to happen, bam, next Friday.
You're right.
I think going on many, many years. Look at the violent weather we've had for so many years.
Yes.
Look at the massive loss of life.
Mm.
It's not new.
It's not new. And there have been many moments in our history of civilization and consciousness that where civilizations or peoples have said, this is it. This is the new coming. This is the new awakening. This is, things are going to change, and things are always changing and have always been changing. So I, like you, don't feel that there's going to be a significant change necessarily in terms of massive disasters and, you know, people falling off, not the physical cliff, but falling off, you know, the emotional cliff. And I think it's, we're always in a learning process, you know.
Yeah.
I could be wrong.
Well, I could too. We'll find out.
Yeah. Allie, how can people get in contact with you and learn more about your teachings?
If you go to www.liveinhappinessnow.com/blog,
great.
You'll see a way to get in contact with me. I have a free gift for you if you look in the upper right-hand corner. There'll also be something that pops up. And that's my blog.
You know what? Your free gifts are awesome, too, because it's usually your teachings and pamphlets about how to sort of, whether it's positive affirmations, how to create your life, how to find more happiness, how to go within. And, you know, it's really good information, folks. So go ahead and check out liveinhappinessnow.com, and you'll get a lot of information about Allie and also about her teachings, which have spanned the years. You are an amazing woman, Allie, because you live your truth. And you have been through a heck of a lot, and I commend you so much for coming on the show. And you've pretty much had to learn how to speak all over again from the brain tumor that appeared in your life over a year ago. So you're amazing, girl. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you very much.
And you're welcome, sweetheart. Listen, thanks for sharing, everybody. And by the way, I want you to know too, Allie, that this show can be downloaded and replayed. As of tomorrow, it'll be here in the archives with more information on you, Allie. Also, I'm on iTunes and TalkTube, the new app as well. So blessings to you, my dear, and we'll be in contact real soon. We'll keep up with each other. It's always a pleasure to talk with you.
Same here. Thanks very much.
All right, sweetheart. Thanks for helping everybody out, too. Thanks for being there. Bye. Allie Bierman, again, a bright light there for a lot of people in the world. I mean, she really has helped so many people and suffered through her own, you know, physical issues and mental issues in life, and she's moved quite well through it. I mean, who do you know can suffer a huge brain tumor and come to learn how to speak and write all over again and continue to help other people You know, it's amazing. So, all right, we've got to go. Wow, time's moving quickly. This is Dr. Michelle, and you've been on the couch with me, as always, learning about happiness, how to recreate your life, maybe do some affirmations, figure out why you're in negative relationships, and take good care of yourself in general. And as I always say, take care of yourself first, and then you'll be great for others. That's the way it works. Stay on the couch. More great shows coming up here on LA Talk Radio. Bye-bye.